Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
In Burma, peace seems so difficult to find. Burma received its independence from the United Kingdom, from Great Britain in 1948, and yet really there's been very little peace in that time. The large players in Burma are, of course, the military. It's only in recent years that Aung San Suu Kyi was allowed out of house arrest and became a kind of statesman figurehead with no power under the Constitution. But according to our next guest, she is indeed the one person that can hold Burma together on its progress towards a tentative peace. A peace will be hard fought. The world is alarmed so often at what happens in Burma, the exodus of people from the Rakhine State into nearby Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh as the result of, and with atrocities committed on the way by the military. There are counterclaims, of course, that the freedom fighters for the Rohingya people themselves were the cause of atrocities. Burma, in fact, is a series of ethnic groups that vie for power. And the power, though, is held pretty tightly by the military. Religious leaders have been getting together in Burma to try to bring about peace, and one of those at the centre of that movement is Myanmar's most senior Catholic and outspoken human rights advocate, Cardinal Charles Mong Bo. He is, in fact, the Archbishop of Yangon, the capital of Burma or Myanmar, and he was visiting Australia this week as a guest of Catholic Mission. I took the opportunity to discuss with him the past and the future of Burma.
The government is trying to focus its attention and energy to welcome them back, and also everything has been set in place. But for the return of these people, whether they wish or not, I said not. We don't know yet. But for the moment, I think we have visited 2 weeks ago, that the places are already ready to welcome them back.
That's welcome news, although it seems to observers, including myself, that it'll take a lot to win back the trust of the Rohingya people. Can they trust that when they come back, it'll be to a safer environment?
I think that on that issue, the government is trying its best that they will receive their documents, and they're gradually planning to give them citizenship. Because we ourselves went to see the place, all the procedures that they are preparing. We trust that things will be working all right in Myanmar, especially this ethnic groups.
To what extent, Cardinal, did the government or the military contribute to the fleeing of the Rohingya people?
Actually, things would not have happened. There had not been the attacks of the Rohingya Salvation Army, the RSA. Because of that, there was a full force from the side of the military that many of them fled. And also, we cannot just one-sided blame the government and the military. I think the people there, the Rohingyas, or what we call Rohingyas, the Muslims themselves have their own agenda, and there have been organized propaganda made for them to go to Bangladesh. And also they have their own agenda in the sense that many of them wish to proceed to the third rich country. That's also one of the agendas that they were having.
Agencies, however, like Amnesty International and others that we've spoken to, have attested to, atrocities being committed amongst the Rohingya people before and during the period of their exodus into Bangladesh. Can you talk to that?
Of course, because of the attacks of the Arakan Rohingya Salvation Army, which they attacked the 30 police posts, and after that there was a full force from the side of the Myanmar military. But at the same time, I think the international media should also listen to the what's from the side of the government as well as the military. And what I see is that there has been one-sided news from the from the international ones. Just listen to one party. I think that in order to solve any problem, we need to listen to both sides. There are also not only the Myanmar one, supposing the burning of the villages and other things, not all that has been done by the military, but also they themselves they burned down their own villages and departed to Bangladesh. There was also the murders and atrocities done by these Rohingya Salvation Army, where last 2 weeks I was there in that place. We have heard the personal witnesses of some of those Hindu people, some sort of Hindu families, where men were killed by this armed group. And also some of the Burmese, Myanmar, these Buddhist villages also suffered a lot through these Salvation Army. Yeah.
Our guest is Cardinal Bo, the Cardinal of Myanmar. At the centre of all of this, is it right to say that it's never been an easy peace since 1948, since independence, or indeed since the coup of 1962, but at the centre of it is complete enmity between different ethnic groups, different religious groups, different people groups?
Yeah, there has been from the time that we got independence from the British in 1948 up to now, there has been the civil war going on, perhaps the longest civil war in the world, different ethnic groups. Perhaps we have also to blame the British too, that and also we had to blame ourselves that we took up the government too soon. Started with the assassination of the General Aung San. And of course later on we enjoy a few years of the democracy, but when Prime Minister U Nu declared Buddhism as the state religion, it was the time that most of the ethnic Christian groups took up arms to fight for their religious right. So this is happening till now. And of course, there's a peace conference going on, but it's going on very slow. And especially the Kachin group would not trust easily the Myanmar military, and the demand for federalism, equal share of governance and power, and especially the equal share for the natural resources. Most of the 80% of the natural resources are in that area with the ethnic groups, and they do not have equal share with so everything has been taken by the military generals, yes, with their cronies, and also much of has been taken and exported to China. That's the one. So I think the peace and the ceasefire would not happen so easily unless the government and the military would see to this federalism or sharing of power and sharing of the natural resources.
Well, Cardinal Bo, I wonder if certainly power, resources, therefore money and access to the means to make money, all of those are central. But you are also part of a movement of religious leaders, which, if I'm right, you not only see that religion has contributed to the problems in Myanmar, but indeed has a responsibility for the solutions. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. We are giving that peace building a top priority. Even when Pope Francis visited us last year, actually he gave the message to all the groups in the country, to the government and as well as to the military, to young people, and also the Buddhist monks and the Catholic bishops and the religious leaders, that the Pope was insisting on the building peace, especially as a duty of the religious leaders. He came with the motto of love and peace in the country. So with that, I think we are the Bishop Conference of Myanmar is trying to pursue in every way possible, starting with the gathering of the different religious leaders. Last month we have the meeting among ourselves and met Aung San Suu Kyi, and also we visited the place, Rakhine place, where there was the conflict. And also, of course, in coming October, we'll be having another conference comprising of the different religious leaders, the government, as well as the military and the different diplomats, so that how we could in practice further on this work for peace, which, of course, is not easy, especially it's really difficult to get the agreement from the military and from these ethnic groups, especially of the Kachin KIA. Yes.
Our guest on Open House is Cardinal Bo. He's the Archbishop of Yangon in Myanmar, and one of these religious leaders that's been meeting together, as you heard, to try to find reconciliation and peace for that country. Reconciliation and forgiveness, Your Eminence, are, of course, Christian virtues. And I wonder, are other ethnic groups ready to hear that? And if so, how do you chart a path towards, let's say, forgiveness as the, or even truth-telling? How do you agree? Can you agree on a common understanding of the history? Who is the aggressor and who is the freedom fighter? In the minds of each of these groups, the answer to that will be different, won't it?
Yeah, of course. Looking back, the past history, it's humanly speaking, this of reconciliation, forgiveness, and peace building is difficult. Mm. At the same time, I think whenever we have the gathering of the religious leaders, we always that saying that any religion, not only the Christians but also the Buddhists and the Muslims, also everybody, every religion is talking about love and peace. And although our situation is a little complex, but I think with the goodwill of everybody, especially the majority being the Buddhists, I think we have to educate our monks also. We have 500,000 monks and 70,000 with the Buddhist nuns. Mm-hmm. And then gradually with our friendship and with understanding of each other, understanding the feelings and the hurts of others, and we'll have to heal the, as the Pope was telling, the visible and invisible wounds of the people. And I think that's a lot of goodwill that we must try to build among ourselves, especially before going to the other political or any the law or the, but the basic one would be that we must try to have a one-to-one person contact and a friendly contact. That would be the first step towards building peace in the country.
You mentioned that, humanly speaking, that's a difficult task. Clearly, many around the world join you, Catholics, non-Catholics, Christians all over, join you in praying for peace to reign in people's hearts. What would you like us to pray for?
Pray the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi, where there is hatred, love, where there is friendship, forgiveness, where there is retaliation, the friendship, and to be each one to be the healer and builder of peace in the East. That's a prayer, the famous prayers of Saint Francis of Assisi, that I think that everybody, even the Buddhist community in Myanmar, would accept that prayer. Even Aung San Suu Kyi herself want that all the people of Myanmar should pray the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of peace. That's the prayer which is so valuable and meaningful, and that inspires every ethnic groups and every religion in the world. Yeah.
We will commit to praying that for you and for the people of Myanmar. I'd like to ask you about your meeting with Aung San Suu Kyi just recently. How did you find her? From the outside, it looks as though she is in some respects powerless. Although you could read into her body language, her face, if you like, a sense of desperation at having achieved so much, but yet being so incapable of stopping the violence within the country. Tell me about your relationship with her.
Yeah, of course, that's a personal relationship in the sense that I've been friendly with the family for many years, and I would say that I admire her because of her principles and because of her integrity and also the sacrifice that she had gone, sacrificing her family and herself for the sake of the people.
And Cardinal Bo, can I ask you about her relationship with the military? Does she have the credentials, or does she in fact have the ability to deal harshly with the military if she has to?
I would dare to state that eliminating Aung San Suu Kyi, neglecting Aung San Suu Kyi, or rejecting Aung San Suu Kyi means indirectly you welcome again the military dictatorship in Myanmar, and I don't see any other choice. And all. So the military holds 25% of in the parliament, and also it holds in three areas of the defense and the home affairs and the border issues, which constitutionally she has no power to make any comments on that.
So really, effectively, what I understand you to be saying is that Aung San Suu Kyi's ability to stand up to the military, albeit given that they actually have constitutional roles within the parliament, within the country, her ability depends on the degree to which the people still continue to trust her. Is that correct?
Yes, I still can trust her, but of course the trust is not so high as when 2 years ago. The people trust her, in fact, too much, and they expect her to work a miracle overnight, to change the whole the situation after 60, 70 years of military dictatorship into a very polished democracy, which the expectation was too much, and she on herself is playing a very delicate, slippery role between the people and the military. Definitely, she is playing a very delicate situation, which the international community do not understand her. So blaming her right away would mean that the people do not have a real understanding of the complex situation in Myanmar and the good for the country.
Well, Cardinal Bo, do you see any possibility of a return to a less peaceful Myanmar? I mean, is it, how delicate is Aung San Suu Kyi's hold on power or hold on peace or influence for peace?
Yeah, that would also depend on the goodwill of the military, as well as the goodwill of the ethnic people.
Yes.
Actually, our main problem is because the, like would say also power, but also authority, but also would say that this the natural resources, which becomes a blessing as well as a curse in the country. So the if there is no justice and equal sharing, then I think it's a little difficult to work for peace. But that Aung San Suu Kyi is calling everybody, all the different ethnic groups, to come to the peace conference, put down the signature for ceasefire, and let's have a dialogue table, and that we could work out. You know. So if there is goodwill on the people on both sides, I think peace is possible. Peace is the only way in Myanmar, in the country.
Now, just finally, Cardinal Bo, and you've been very good with your time. We appreciate it very much. We've spoken about big things. We've spoken about peace between different ethnic religious groups. We've spoken about the military, constitutions, Aung San Suu Kyi, international. We've spoken about all of these things. But I know, because I've read a lot of your material, that in fact your heart is with the voiceless of your country of Myanmar. In fact, you once said that you want to be a voice for those voiceless. Just give us a little insight into those people who, when we pray for Myanmar, those people who we're praying for.
Many of our people, especially the ethnic groups, I'm not talking about the armed groups and, no. and militant people, but the majority suffers a lot. So it's been known that already 6 or 7 years that they are in the camps, and there are no chance for education, for their livelihood. Everything has been trapped there. And then also there are people that are in the border area of Thailand and Myanmar. There are people suffering there. So I think it's our duty that we should speak on their behalf. Especially when I received the red hat from Pope Francis, he said red hat means it's a color of the blood. And in spite of being the Catholic Church, although being a minority, that we should speak out on behalf of those people suffering, on behalf of those who are far away and those who are underprivileged. So that's a role that we try to play, especially in Myanmar, trying to support anybody that is working for peace. And especially, I think we should understand the delicate role that Aung San Suu Kyi is playing, and we don't have any other leader that could really change the country for the moment.
Yes, I think that's quite clear. And Catholic Mission, which you've been in Australia supporting these past few days, Catholic Mission is running schools, and you're providing healthcare and other forms of service.
Right, we are doing that with the help of a Catholic Mission, especially those places where there is no schools, no education. In our little way, limited way, we have the help in the education of the children, especially those in ethnic areas, in the conflict areas where they have no schools. And the contribution of this Catholic Mission is a big assistance to us and encouragement to us to continue in this line of education. Yes. We are very grateful for that.
Cardinal Charles Mong Bo, he's the Archbishop of Yangon and the most senior Catholic in Myanmar. And when I got the red hat, that's when he was made a cardinal. But it's a nice little insight there into the desire of both Cardinal Bo and also the Pope. Also, I think you'll hear in that interview some answers to what we were asking at the time. The world was asking when the Pope visited Myanmar, why did he not speak out about the Rakhine State issues? Well, it's complex, but it's very clear that what they want to not do is to destabilize in any way Aung San Suu Kyi, who clearly they believe is the means to peace in that country. And I pray that in fact is what the outcome is.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.